The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org.
It's a time of unprecedented uncertainty, but Pastor Greg Laurie says our all-powerful God cares for us.
No matter what you're going through right now, no matter what hardship you're facing, I want you to know that you are saved if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. That is not affected by COVID-19. Your salvation is not affected by fluctuation in the stock market or changes in the economy. So live out your own salvation.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Jesus saves us. We're saved to the uttermost, as we read in Hebrews chapter 7. We're not mostly saved or pretty much saved. As one speaker pointed out, the old hymn does not say, "Sin has left a crimson stain, he washed it light pink." But what should be our response to that finished work on the cross? Pastor Greg Laurie tackles that question today here on A New Beginning. It's foundational insight every believer should know. Glad you're along.
The title of my message is, We Can Work It Out. You've probably heard that title somewhere if you're older. This is a part of our series that we're calling Quarantine Life. It's based on the epistle of Paul to the Philippians. Paul was under house arrest when he wrote it. He could not go out and live freely as he had before. So he was literally living the quarantine life a little more severe than what we're facing. As we're hanging out at home a lot, and I don't know about you, but I am ready to get out again. But a lot of people are eating a lot of foods, not the best foods, and they're gaining weight. In fact, they call it the quarantine 15. That would be gaining 15 pounds. That's quite a bit. I read an article online the other day that talked about Uber Eats. So they deliver food to people. And it was interesting because by each state, they said, what are the most popular things that people are ordering to eat from Uber Eats in that state? So Arizona, Virginia, South Carolina, and Illinois all have something in common. You guys, you love French fries. That's what you order. Now, over in Hawaii, barbecue mixed plate. That makes sense. Mixed plate is very popular on the islands. Louisiana, they like chips and queso. So Montana, enchiladas. Interesting. Texas, this really surprised me. Texas, the most popular thing they like to order is pad thai. Pad thai. What? Texan people, what are you doing? You should be ordering barbecue. And by the way, if you live in Texas, you have an awesome place when you can go out and eat in restaurants again called Babe's Fried Chicken. And when I'm in Texas, that's where I eat. And I probably gained 15 pounds the last time I was in Texas eating Babe's Fried Chicken along with the biscuits, along with the mashed potatoes. Oh, it's so good. Okay, so Iowa, the big order for them from Uber Eats is the large poke bowl. That kind of surprises me for Iowa. Here in California, it's chicken tikka masala. I don't even know if I've ever even had that before, but that's what people are eating. They're not eating the best foods. I did read the other day about a lady who was 101 years old. She survived the Spanish flu in 1918, and she just got the coronavirus and survived that as well. And so she was asked what her secret was, and her family said, oh, it's junk food, and specifically, she loves to eat, are you ready for it? Oreos. Nobody has talked about Oreos, all of these ideas for how to overcome this virus. Well, this lady eats Oreos, so there you go. But, you know, we need to be working out. We need to be exercising. I don't know about you, but I personally hate exercise, and I'm not looking forward to going back to the gym again. And maybe some of you are working out at home and you're trying to get into shape. But here's the thing. We not only need to work out physically, we need to work out spiritually if you will. In fact, the only workout or the only exercise some people get is jumping to conclusions, running down others, and sidestepping responsibilities. I hope you're more active than that spiritually. And I want to look at the words of the Apostle Paul to the believers there in Philippi, because effectively he's telling them to work out what God has worked in. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to open it up right now, or go to the Bible app on your phone or on your tablet and turn to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 12 to 16. Here are the words of Paul. He says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Paul says, work out your own salvation. So let me start with my first point. We need to work out what God has worked in. We need to work out what God has worked in. Or as St. Paul and St. John said, we can work it out. Actually, that's John Lennon, Paul McCartney, the Beatles. That was a Beatles song. I digress. Anyway, again, we need to work out what God has worked in. Verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Please note, he did not say work for your salvation. Salvation is a gift from God. We're told over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast." Listen, I don't know about you. I know that my sin is forgiven. I know that I will go to heaven when I die. How do I know that? Because I believe the promises of God. I've received the gift from God of eternal life. But what does Paul mean then when he says, work out your own salvation? Remember again that the book of Philippians, the epistle to the people there, it's written to Christians. In fact, in the beginning, he calls them saints. He says, you are saints. So these words are written to believers to work out their own salvation. It could better be translated, work it out or carry it out completely or bring it to full completion. You know, there is effort involved in the Christian life. You don't just accept Christ and sit back and do nothing. The Bible tells us that the Christian life is like running a race. We'll talk about that next time. The Christian life is like being in a war. We're in battle. The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. But he says, work out your own salvation. Let me just talk to you for a moment about that word salvation or the word saved. I love the word saved. What a perfect word. You'll see that word used if a firefighter goes into a building and rescues someone. You might read in an article, they were saved. And indeed they were. Or if someone was drowning and a lifeguard went and rescued them, we'll say that person was saved. By the way, that reminds me of a pastor who was moonlighting as a lifeguard to make a little extra money. And apparently a lot of people were drowning on his station. So they tried to figure out what's going on with this preacher. All these people are drowning when he's the lifeguard. So they went and observed him and they saw people calling for help. And the preacher just looked at him and said, God bless you, I see that hand. God bless you, I see that hand. It's a joke, people. Don't take it seriously. But here's the point. Saved is the perfect word. And that is what God has done for us. Listen to this. He has saved us. He is saving us, and he will save us. He has saved us from judgment. That's what we all were going to face. Without Christ, we were going to face eternal judgment and separation from God. He saved us from that, but he's saving us every day. We face temptation and difficulty and hardship, and Christ gets us through it. He's saving us, and ultimately, he will save us. We will come to the end of our life. And we'll pass into eternity. And because we have put our faith in Jesus, we have the promise of salvation, which is, of course, the hope of heaven. When God saves a person, he forgives their sin and puts it away. And he not only forgives it, he forgets it. Listen, when God saves a person, he justifies them. Now, in the Bible, that is a word that speaks of something he does for us, which means that he places the righteousness of Christ into your spiritual bank account, if you will. One way I've heard the word justified translated is just as if it never had happened. So when you're saved, when you believe in Jesus, your sin is forgiven, your sin is forgotten, and it's like it never even took place. Isn't that amazing? That's what God has done for you. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 2:3, it's a great salvation. In fact, it asks the question, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So listen, no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what hardship you're facing, I want you to know that you are saved if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. That is not affected by COVID-19. Your salvation is not affected by fluctuation in the stock market or changes in the economy. So work out, live out, play out your own salvation. It's sort of like a conductor with an incredible musical composition handed to him. It doesn't just play itself. He gets in front of the orchestra and he has each person play their part. The notes and scales are on the paper, but the people need to work out their parts. So we need to live out our own salvation.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here, inviting you to join me every weekend for what we call Harvest at Home. It's a church service, it's a worship service, it's a Bible study, and it's wherever you want it to be. In your home, in your car, sitting on a beach, walking down the street, watching it on your phone, wherever you are, you can take it with you and be ministered to every weekend. Join us for Harvest at Home at harvest.org.
Well, today, Pastor Greg is presenting a message from his series in Philippians called Quarantined Life, a study called We Can Work It Out. Let's continue now.
Work out your own salvation. Actually, the phrasing that Paul uses here could be translated to work out as in a mine. Work out a mine. I'm in California right now. Years ago, we had what was called the California Gold Rush. And people came from California from all around the world because they thought there was just gold laying in the streets. And what gold there was readily available was soon gone. But there was a lot more gold up in them thar hills, as it was said. But you had to go into the mines and you had to mine the gold. And hopefully you might find the mother lode. I don't know if you realize how much God has done for you. It's found in the Bible, but as you explore it and discover it, it's like you're finding the mother lode of the promises of God in the Bible that are all a part of salvation. So work out your own salvation. This is a great thing. And I'm not in any way trying to imply that that's something you should worry about losing. When you put your faith in Jesus, you don't have to worry about losing your salvation because God has promised you, Romans 8:16, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And my favorite assurance verse is 1 John 5:13. These things we write to you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it as a fact, because God has done it for you. But what about that question? Can a Christian lose their salvation? We've seen people that make an initial profession of faith. It looks as though God has really changed their life. And then they just bail 3 weeks later, 2 months later. And we say, well, wow, was that person saved? And now are they no longer saved? I think the better question is, were they really saved to begin with? I'm reminded of what Jesus said in what we call the parable of the sower. He talked about seed that was thrown out and it landed out there in the gravel. And it was not able to get root and it shot up and withered quickly. Then he explained it and he said in Mark 4:16, these people are the ones that hear the word of God. They respond with great enthusiasm. But there is such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off or difficulty arrives, there is nothing to show for it, okay? So it's not just having an emotional experience. You have to work it out. You have to live it out. You need to continue in this commitment you've made for Christ. In fact, I have actually 5 litmus tests that you can apply in your life to determine whether or not you really are saved, to determine whether or not Christ really lives inside of you. Number one, if you are really saved, you will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. If you are really saved, you will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. 1 John 4:15 says, "He that confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God." So listen, if you believe in Jesus, you need to let someone know. Jesus said, "If you will confess me before people, I'll confess you before my Father and the angels in heaven." Look for an opportunity to tell someone about your faith in Jesus Christ. If you're a real believer, you will confess that Christ is your Lord. Number two, if you're really saved, you'll obey God's commands. If you're really saved, you'll obey God's commands. 1 John 5:3 says, "This is love for God, that you obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, for everyone that is born of God overcomes the world." Now, this is a problem for some. Oh, they obey the commands of God they like. They ignore the ones they don't like. But Jesus said, "You are my disciples if you do whatsoever I command you." He did not say, "You are my disciples if you do whatsoever you personally agree with," or "You are my disciples if you do whatsoever you find easy." No, he says, "You are my disciples if you do whatsoever I command you." I had a person ask me once, "Pastor Greg, what do you do when you come to a passage in the scripture you don't agree with?" So my response was, "Well, change your opinion, because you're wrong and the Bible is right." We can't edit the Bible according to how we want to live. We should edit how we live according to what the Bible says. And notice also that verse I quoted in 1 John 5, it says, if you're really a believer, you'll obey his commands, and they're not burdensome. They're not burdensome. Do you find God's word hard to live by? You say, "Oh man, I don't like this and I don't like that." And well, listen, it's not a burden when you understand that these words are put in scripture, and yes, the commandments were put in scripture for your own protection. And that brings me to point number three. If you're really saved, you will be unhappy and miserable when you have sinned. If you're really saved, you'll be unhappy or miserable when you have sinned. 1 John 3:9 says, "Everyone who's been born of God does not habitually sin, because God's seed remains in him, and he's not able habitually to sin." That verse does not say that if you're a child of God, you will not sin, because everyone sins all the time. Sins of commission, sins of omission. I've told you before, a sin of commission is when you do what you should not do. A sin of omission is when you don't do what you should do. And the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we all sin, but there's a difference between sinning and knowing it and being sorry for it, and the person who intentionally sins again and again, and they do it habitually. And the Bible is saying, if you're a child of God, you won't habitually sin. Listen, you won't be sinless, but you will sin less. And you will not be happy after you've sinned, and you'll want to get right with God. Listen, if you want to be an unhappy person, have unconfessed sin in your life. Happiness does not come from sin. Misery, guilt, and repercussions come from sin. That is why the Bible says, "Happy is the man who has been forgiven of his sin." After David sinned against the Lord, he wrote in Psalm 51, "Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation." Here's point number four. If you want to know if you're saved or not, did you keep yourself from the evil one or from the devil? 1 John 5:18 says, "We know whoever is born of God does not sin, and he who has been born of God keeps himself from the wicked one, and the wicked one does not touch him." So to keep himself means you stay as far away from evil as you possibly can. Listen, I don't keep myself saved, but I can keep myself safe. I can avoid relationships. I can avoid environments. I can avoid situations where I know that I'm vulnerable and I know I could sin. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us." And then he says, "And lead us not into temptation." And what that really is saying is, Lord, help me to not get in a place where I would fall. Help me take the practical steps. And so if you're really a child of God, you'll want to stay away from ungodly influences. But having said that, if you're really a child of God, you'll want to be around godly influences because you will love Christians, your fellow believers. That's point number five. If you're really saved, you will love other Christians. 1 John 5:1 says, "Everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well." I bring this up because I've heard people say, "Well, I love Jesus, I just don't like Christians." Hey, I know we're not perfect. Far from it. I've often said, if you're looking for a hypocrite-free church, don't join it because you'll ruin it. The church is filled with flawed people that fall short constantly, but we are the family of God. And if we really love the Lord, we'll love to be around his people.
Pastor Greg Laurie with 5 points that help us confirm our relationship with God. Good insight today. And there's more to come as this message continues here on A New Beginning. If you'd like an instant replay of this insight, you can go to our website at harvest.org. Just look for the message called "We Can Work It Out." Again, go to harvest.org. Or to get a CD copy, call 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. Well, Pastor Greg, I know Chuck Swindoll is a good friend of yours, and
yeah,
one of his quotes that I really like a lot is this one. He says, "We're all faced with a series of great opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations."
Mm.
And many people are seeing this time as a series of impossible situations, but mm-hmm. I know you're seeing the great opportunities that this time presents, aren't you?
Yes. I guess you could call it making lemons into lemonade, to use a cliche, but really it is. And, you know, disappointment can be God's appointment. And so we're not saying God has sent COVID-19, but certainly God is aware of it.
Yeah.
And God allowed it. And God is using it in a way, working despite it, another way to say it, because basically it's been a national wake-up call, and people are turning to the Lord like no other time I've seen in over 45 years of ministry. Let me illustrate. In a 4-week period, with people watching our online service called Harvest at Home, we saw 31,000 professions of faith. You're thinking, Greg, you have that number wrong. It's 3,100. No, folks, it's 31,000. Because when
I'm
speaking,
not just the number of people that are tuned in, that's the number of people who responded.
No, there's around 1 million-plus people tuned in.
Oh, my goodness.
These are people from all around the world. These are older people. These are younger people. These are men. These are women. And guess what? A large percentage of them are millennials. Above 30% of the people responding are millennials. And I'm wondering, is this the way that we're going to see the next spiritual awakening in America? Through screens. Hmm. Here's a generation, certainly the millennials, 100% Generation Z, that have never known anything but screens in their life. Hmm. They connect with each other through screens. I remember reading a stat that said many millennials and Gen Z people would rather text than talk. So here's a generation that connects to the screen. Now, we can criticize that and we can deplore that, but here's the truth. They're connecting to the screen and they're hearing the gospel maybe in ways that they wouldn't connect as well in a live service. Please understand, I'm not suggesting we not do live services. And when I say live, I mean in person with congregations and so forth. But what I am saying is God is at work So let's find this light in the midst of a dark time and give God the glory. And I've written a book that really, I think, will help people get a biblical perspective on what we're facing together. And it's called Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. This is a brand new book. It deals with how to handle your fear, how to deal with your anxiety, how to put the Lord first in all things, how to look for the good despite the bad that you might be facing in your home or in other areas of your life. And I want to send this to you right now for free. Really, I just want you to have it. But if you can support us financially in this time, we'd really appreciate it, because the Lord is opening up doors for us here at A New Beginning that we've never seen open before, to reach people we've never been able to reach before. Mm-hmm. This is truly a significant moment in not just American history, but in global history. This is an opening for the gospel. Let's go through this door together. So I appreciate your support for us financially. I really appreciate your prayers for us. And I want to send this book as a way of saying thank you. It's called Bringing Christ into Your Crisis.
Yeah, that's right. And we have a copy waiting for you. Thanks for your investment in the important work of evangelism at this critical time in our nation's history. But no matter what amount you can invest right now, please contact us and ask for Bringing Christ into Your Crisis. You can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Well, next time, Pastor Greg has more for us from this important message in Philippians called We Can Work It Out. Join us here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.